We have a quorum, and I call the Senate Education Committee to order.
How are you doing?
Thank you for being here in good time. We have one bill on the agenda today, Senate File 1690. Senator Wolf. I invite you to come to the table. Senator Wolf, present your bill. I believe you have an author's amendment.
I do, Madam Chair, and
and Senator Wolf moves Senate File 1690.
Right. Thank you.
We recommend it to pass, and it will be sent to the floor.
Sent to the floor. Thank you, Madam Chair.
But,
and yes, I do have an amendment that I would like to offer to start with.
Which I believe that's in your folders?
Yes, the A1 amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a delete-all amendment that is primarily some technical changes. For example, if you look on page 1, the limited term license is not a provisional license. When we're talking about a provisional license, that is the license that is given in the alternative pathways. So that is what that's not included in the provisional definition here.
Which means that it's not affected by the...
Correct. It's not changed. When they use the term provisional license, it's not referring to a limited term license. Then throughout, research can help me where the dates are changed throughout the bill from 1516 to 1617, which would allow time for the teacher evaluation to be completed and then be put into, then this document would be put into place the following year.
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Senator Reed.
This is an author's amendment, correct?
Yes.
So we'll go through the bill rather than the description now.
So you would like to have her move the bill?
Well,
you,
as a,
move it.
Yeah. We usually put it in the form the author wants.
Sure. That's right.
Unless she wants to at this
point. Senator Wolf moves the A1 amendment as an author's amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Motion prevails. Proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. What this bill does, and I don't know if it's in your packet or not, but I wanted to start out putting this on the right foot with a quote that was in the Star Trib yesterday on this issue. And one of the quotes that was in the Trib was that quality teachers and administrators are the most important in-school factors in helping kids learn. And I want that concept to be kept first and foremost in this discussion, that what we are looking to do is make sure that the most qualified, effective teachers are in the classroom with the kids. And this bill specifically addresses the layoff and rehire process that we have in the state of Minnesota right now. Currently, when a layoff occurs, the school districts automatically will have a, it's called the last in, first out, hence the LIFO. If you were hired last, you have the least seniority, and you will therefore be the first ones that will be released in the case of a layoff. What this bill does is changes it from being based entirely on seniority to have it being based primarily on the evaluation or the effectiveness of the teacher. So the order that would be used when determining the order to lay off teachers would, number one, be licensure, number two, be effectiveness, and then number three, be seniority. And that is what this bill addresses. And I don't know if this would be a good time. We have one amendment that I'm aware of to be added.
Sure. Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Wolf, members, I have been very concerned over the years, particularly around the loss of our probationary teachers. It's been a great concern that in many cases we lose our first, second, and third year teachers because, in fact, we've had these layoffs year after year after year. So, first of all, I would say that, you know, I believe we have an outstanding teacher corps. I have raised four kids in the Hopkins Public Schools. They had outstanding teachers. It is my belief that we in the state have some of the best teachers in the nation. Yet I am concerned about the practice of letting go our new probationary teachers year after year, because I think that, number one, we discourage new wonderful teachers from coming in. We're in situations where our brightest stars are unintentionally having to be let go. And so when I saw this measure coming forward, I was concerned that it actually missed kind of the heart of things, and that was finding a way to allow us to keep the best first, second, and third year teachers as well. So I remember 2 years ago I offered a bill that gave school districts the ability to offer continuing contracts to those first, second, and third year teachers, and that didn't seem to quite get at the heart of the matter. So I have put forward an amendment, and with that I'll offer the A4. And all this does, as it says, in every place where you talk about regular teachers being looked at with effectiveness first, it says including probationary teachers. So my intent with this amendment is to just say that if teachers are going to be looked at, that we include probationary teachers as well. Okay. That's the intent, and you'll see the language just conforms to that. Oh, and then one more thing. I am also very concerned about a perception that school districts could use this new law to get rid of the more expensive teachers because it's cheaper for them to then hire newer teachers. And that is completely, you know, the antithesis of what we want to be accomplishing. And so I asked for a sentence to be included, and it's included two times within this amendment. And you'll see it on the first page. Let's see. I'm sorry, it's not there. Line 2.10 says, nothing in this subdivision permits a school board to use a teacher's remuneration, which means their pay as well as benefits, as the sole basis for making unrequested leave of absence or discharge decisions. So can we stop this? I hope so. But if it should happen, then I think putting language like this in the bill would actually, should it pass, give teachers a stronger case in court to say, you know, they do have a case that they were, in fact, discriminated against because of their salary structure. And then you'll see that repeated again on line 3.23.
Are there questions, Senator Wolf?
Madam Chair, yes. Thank you, Senator Bonoff. And this is what I would consider a friendly amendment. I just wanted to make one clarification and make sure I understand this correctly, that probationary teachers would be included in the pool in the event of a layoff, and if their evaluation was as an effective teacher, they would be considered to be retained. And that the school boards would still have the authority, if there's a probationary ineffective teacher, that they could release them at will. In other words, not waiting until there's a layoff.
Madam Chair, Senator Wolf, of course. And also let me reiterate that with this, if you have 10 teachers that are effective, the seniority would still be in effect. The senior teachers would be kept over a probationary teacher in the same effectiveness class. This is not trying to leapfrog a senior teacher.
Are you talking about your amendment or
yes,
the bill?
Yes, my amendment as well. So seniority is still the second factor if you have a tie.
And Madam Chair, in Senate research, I just want to make sure that the language clarifies that school districts still would not would be able to remove ineffective probationary teachers. That it would not be, in other words, it's not waiting until there's a layoff before an ineffective teacher can be released. If there was an ineffective teacher, they could be released right away. I just want to make sure that that's the understanding of the language. Is that the way the language reads?
Counselor or Senator Bonoff, 1.18, you are deleting as the school board shall see fit, which would seem to remove that at will during probationary time, but maybe I'm not reading it right here.
Madam Chair, it's my belief that, well, first of all, you know, all teachers would be at will, but as the school board shall see fit, what this changes to is that evaluation is the lens for by making the decisions.
So then it is not, you take away the at will if you're not in a position where that's going to make the difference. They still have to use evaluation for the layoff of the probationary teachers rather than at will. So is that
Madam Chair, I think we agree on the intent. I think we maybe just need some
counsel
help with the language to make sure that it's stating that if a probationary teacher has an ineffective evaluation, that they can be removed at will. They do not have to wait for a formal layoff to occur in the school district before they would be removed. So whatever the appropriate language is, they would be at will in a sense that they could be removed, but it would be based on their evaluation, and if they're found to be effective, they could be removed immediately.
Is there anybody here from Council for School Board Association or whatever that would be able to determine that we're doing what we think we're doing and not something else?
Madam Chair, my name is Kirk Schneider. I'm on staff of the School Board Association, and I'm not sure either because I've seen a number of versions of this bill. I think I understand your intent, and I think does it also consider the issue of the other three areas where it talks about licensure, evaluation, and seniority? I guess that's my question would be is if the author's intent to include them within the pool, within the effectiveness pool.
Right.
I think that meets our concern. We still want to have the ability to non-renew probationary teachers looking at their evaluation as part of that. So I don't know if I'm reiterating what you're asking. It sounds very similar to that.
Yep.
But
saying the same thing.
It's a complicated statute, and I understand that, and that's why I need to make sure that we're straight on that.
Madam Chair, and if I could ask counsel, could you clarify and address some of the questions that are raised?
Madam Chair, members, if you look at the language, it says during the probationary period, any contract with any teacher may or may not be reviewed, and it tells you what the school board has to base that decision on. So it still has to be based on the evaluation. But it's not saying you have to wait until
there's a layoff.
You're doing unrequested leave of absence or something like that.
Okay, good.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any other questions on the amendment?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Wieger?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll ask Senator Bonoff to look at line 2.11 and with your intent that the remuneration of the teacher not be a factor. We don't want a disincentive for a teacher to get continuing education related to their license or for their advancement. With that said, I'm wondering if we deleted the words "the sole" and inserted "any," so that it would not be a basis for unrequested leave what your salary was, because this just says it's not
the sole,
a sole factor.
Madam Chair and Senator Wieger, I think that change actually makes it better, so I would ask that we include as an oral amendment to the amendment deleting as the sole basis.
Madam Chair, I believe we would still include as.
Okay. As the basis, so you just take out sole.
Madam Chair, I would suggest as any basis.
Madam Chair and Senator Wieger, I think all you'd have to delete is the word sole.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Now it's in the form
that you want to... Yes. Who's first? Madam Chair, just for the oral amendment Senator Bonoff is making, I need to make the same amendment on page 3, line 24. The word soul appears there as well.
Yes.
Okay. And you're incorporating that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, is there Senator Hand?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the, I guess, the amended amendment now.
Well, we haven't acted on, amended amendment.
Right,
yes,
the removal of the word soul is what I'm trying to get at here. I guess I'm just trying to understand, and maybe Senator Wieger or Senator Bonoff can clarify, if you have two teachers that have the same license and the same evaluation performance, and one is paid higher than the other, how does the district decide then which teacher it will lay off if it has to choose between those two? Would this language suggest that they could not remove the teacher who was performing equivalently well but being paid more than the one who is performing equivalently well and being paid less? Is that what this would say?
Sure. Madam Chair.
Madam Chair and Senator Hand, seniority would be the second lens. First lens, according to the bill, is effectiveness. Second lens is seniority. So it would be based on seniority.
Madam Chair and Senator Bonoff, I think you could... Even if seniority were a lens to be applied, there are things that affect a salary other than just seniority. It could be other things. I'm not sure what they might be. But I'm just trying to clarify, is the intent to say in the event that there are two teachers who are evaluated identically, the district could not make a financial decision?
Senator Hand, you're saying that you might have a less senior teacher who is actually making more.
Madam Chair, I guess that's conceivable. I'm not sure. But
what
I'm trying to get at is whether or not you've got two teachers being paid a different amount of money, but they are being evaluated the same.
So in that case, if they were if evaluation was the same, but they were actually making more because of where they were on the lanes and so on,
could be.
You would have to take the more –
that's what I'm trying to understand. Is this saying that you could not, the district couldn't make the decision based on trying to find a way to save money? That's the intent of this.
Madam Chair, the bill itself would, with the seniority, would have that not even be an issue, because by the time, if you want, so just kind of an example is it might be 4 or 5 down the list, but you don't get that far because you get to 3. Seniority, teachers, when we are hired, it literally goes to the minute of seniority. So you would never get to the point where you'd be looking at anything past number three. It would be licensure first, evaluation second, seniority third.
Ms. Altshuler, I didn't mean to ignore you. You can. We were just dealing with some of the members' questions here first. If we've got those covered, Ms. Altshuler.
Madam Chair.
You may stay.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jan Altshuler, Education Minnesota. And because you had not voted yet, I was going to give some of my thoughts about Senator Bonhoeff's amendment, and I understand her intent, and taking the word soul out is a good idea, because otherwise you are saying that the cost of a teacher is actually a reason to possibly get rid of that teacher, and so we would appreciate that amendment. Are opposed to the bill in its entirety, but I wanted to make that statement.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Kirk Schneider, on staff of the School Board Association. I'd love to agree with Jan, but I can't do that right now. So I just want to raise a couple issues to consider on this amendment. I think the bill is pretty clear what we're evaluating the teachers on, and one of them is not compensation. And so I think that before you go forward here, I think by inference, whether it's explicit, to me, it feels as though boards or administrators have acted badly in the past or may act badly in the future. And I don't think, by and large, when it tells us we've got to evaluate based on effectiveness, licensure, and seniority, it doesn't talk about compensation. So I think that this piece may be an issue, and I understand your concern, but I think that from our perspective, it's pretty clear what we have to do before us, and so we think that this may not be needed. And so we're certainly willing to talk about this issue. We understand it's an issue that some are concerned about, but at this point, we don't feel the need.
Madam Chair,
Senator Bonham,
let me just tell you why I included it with the amendment. As I've talked to some of my colleagues about this change, they feel as though it's a pretty dramatic change from the way it's always been, having nothing to do with the probationary. I'm talking about the heart of the matter in the bill. So one of their concerns that was raised to me was what if, now that you've taken seniority off the table, they just use the lens of effectiveness to really kind of play with the financial aspect to save money. And so in trying to bring some people who were concerned to the table of openness on making the change, I put that there as comfort language, because I don't think it's really needed either, because I don't think people are going to do that. And I agree with Senator Wolf that by the time you get through 1, 2, and 3, it's not going to be a factor. But if there's any concern, what does that hurt, you know, if people can just be a little more comfortable? So that was my thinking.
Okay, and I think the council has pointed out on the amendment, which would undo a couple of changes of the delete all amendment on the dates, so make those corrections, Council.
Yes, Madam Chair, members, line 2.5 and line 3.19, the dates of the 2015 to 2016 school year need to be changed to 2016-2017, both spots to conform with the delete all amendment.
Okay. So,
Madam Chair.
So are we ready to
Madam Chair?
No.
Is the thank you, Madam Chair. Is the reason for moving those effective dates to 2015 and 2016, is that so that we have by that time we'll have some kind of a evaluation program that might work? Or
Senator Wolf, I think that's your reason.
I just need to clarify, aren't we changing it to 16-17? Okay.
I said
14-15?
15 and 16, isn't it?
We're changing the amendment to match your
bill.
The delete all amendment, friend.
And Madam Chair, my question was, is the the dates of 2015 and 16, are they chosen so that at that time there might be a effective evaluation system?
So yes, that the date that the bill would go into effect would be a year after the evaluation system is to be complete.
Okay. Do we know for sure that we'll have an effective evaluation system by that time?
Madam Chair, Senator Stumpf, the bill, they are tasked to have one done by then, and school districts have the ability to do one prior to that. That is the fallback evaluation, that they are tasked to have an evaluation in place that the school district can use as their evaluation system.
Senator Stumpf, but the legislature will be back. If we did get everything right the first time, we would be unnecessary. You know that.
I'm sure I do know that.
when it's placed out, are you saying that maybe we shouldn't be moving it out quite that far, the 16-17, or does this would allow it to be in place and used before it actually can be used for this purpose?
Yeah, I sometimes I'm kind of torn between the thought that I think school districts can not renew a contract for an ineffective teacher right now. I think that's true, isn't it? I mean, if you really have an ineffective teacher, I don't think they have to wait until 2015 or 16 to get rid of them or her.
Madam Chair, it depends on whether or not they're probationary. If they're probationary, they can remove them for whatever reason. This addresses the layoff. They would only lay off teachers by order of seniority. So what this is saying that once school districts have an evaluation in place, by no later than the school year of 16-17, they will begin using evaluation as their tool to determine the layoff process.
So what you're saying is this doesn't have anything to do with an ongoing process of evaluating teachers and if they're ineffective of using the due process, the current system in place for removal of a teacher.
Right. Madam Chair, Senator Stumpf, if a school district has an ineffective rating system already, that's from within their school district doing that. There is not a statewide one yet that does that. Currently, probation teachers can be removed for any reason. If it's a tenured teacher, there's a process that occurs in order to remove an ineffective teacher. But like I said, we don't use those terms yet unless the school district has already come up with their own evaluation system, they can then determine that. But as far as statewide, we do not have the three-tier of effectiveness yet.
Are you ready to vote on the amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye on the A4
aye.
Amendment.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion does prevail. Amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering if, Senator Wolf, if you wouldn't mind just briefly going through section by section of the delete all, just because I'm having trouble reconciling what changes there are with the summary that's in our packet or as it was introduced. So if you wouldn't mind just going through the bill as quickly as you want, just to help give an overall picture and maybe talk along the way about what you're...
Senator Sieben, the summary that you have is of the amendment.
Oh, it is. I didn't know. Okay, never mind.
let's take some testimony. We're going to try to stay to about a half hour of testimony from each side, and you've got your testifiers. The list we have for on the pro side: Jennifer Flood, Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair and Senators, my name is Jennifer Flood, and thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of Senate File 1690 and the importance of keeping the best teachers in the classroom. I'm a parent of three children, ages 3, 5, and 7, and the eldest is a second grader in St. Paul Public School District. When my husband and I moved to the Twin Cities 3 years ago, we deliberately chose to buy our home in St. Paul because we wanted our children to attend a public school that would provide them a microcosm of the diversity that they'll ultimately find when they go out in the world. I grew up in Silicon Valley in California among a very diverse group of friends, and this profoundly impacted my worldview, and I've always wanted a similar experience for my own children. Like many parents, my husband and I also want the best education possible for our kids, and we're grateful that our daughter has had three excellent teachers at our neighborhood school. And we've been looking forward to our son starting kindergarten there next year and possibly having those same excellent teachers. However, last spring, we discovered that our daughter's teacher would lose her position for the following year. The budget was shrinking, and as the newest teacher on staff, under the current seniority-based policy, she would have to be the one to go. It didn't matter that she was recognized by her colleagues and by parents as one of the best teachers at the school, and it didn't matter that she had done an extraordinary job teaching an extremely diverse group of kids. As a parent that regularly volunteered, I saw some children that, at the beginning of the year, didn't speak English or know the alphabet, while others entered reading at a third grade level. Over the course of the year, I saw how she made sure that those kids who needed extra support in order to meet the grade level standards got it, and that all children were consistently challenged so they could develop to their full potential. It also didn't matter that she brought such incredible warmth and passion to her work that she lit a fire in each child and they were excited to go to school each day. And she also brought that same energy to establishing relationships with all of us as parents and created systems so that we could support our children's learning at home. So when the other parents and I learned that the school would lose this teacher, we went to the principal to find out what she could do. And it turned out it was nothing. That as the principal, as the person who was charged with leading the school, she didn't actually have control over who could stay on staff. We then explored how we could change this policy at the district level and heard, well, it's complicated, it'll take time, and it might change, but not this year and not next, maybe by the time your kids graduate middle school or high school. This experience caused me to seriously doubt whether our schools are actually focused on serving the best interests of kids. It made me question whether I made the right choice in sending our children to our local neighborhood school, knowing that we could lose more great teachers as budgets continue to contract. And it certainly caused other parents to feel the same doubt, as sure enough, some chose to send their children to other schools this year. And so we see the damage that this outdated policy of seniority-based layoffs does not just to our children, but how it erodes the confidence that parents and entire neighborhoods have in our local schools, and ultimately in our system of public education. As a lifelong progressive Democrat, I'm supporting this bill. It doesn't matter to me that it's sponsored by a Republican. What matters to me is that it's in the best interest of kids and in strengthening our public schools. And I'm asking you to support it too. I'm asking you to value performance and end seniority-based layoffs now. I believe we need to save great teachers and implement a system of teacher evaluation that is fair and then use it when we have to make hard decisions due to tight budgets. And we need to do it this year. The stakes are too high for our kids, our schools, and our communities to wait. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Our witness? Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, I just...
Yes.
Senator Hager.
The teacher that you mentioned that did such a great job, is that teacher dismissed now?
No, in the end, she ended up getting a position at another school in the district, like one of the positions that opened up, I think, in the summer.
Thank you. Linnell Michelson? Or Michelson?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Senators. It's a pleasure to be here today. My name is Linnell Michelson. I am from Minneapolis, and I have spent the last 17 years as a Minneapolis public school parent. I am also the co-founder of a group called Put Kids First Minneapolis. We are an all-volunteer, grassroots group of parents who are trying to change the way teachers are hired, evaluated, placed, and laid off in Minneapolis. We are also part of a group that co-wrote the Contract for Student Achievement, That was that we're monitoring our teacher contract negotiations, and we have five goals, one of which is ending LIFO. And the members of our coalition include the African American Leadership Foundation, the Minneapolis Urban League, city council people, clergy, parents. It's a wide range of people. Almost all of us are progressive Democrats. And so, you know, I came to the, we come to this issue of, I also want to say that I got my first union card at age 17. Thank you, Amalgamated Meat Cutters. I was a member of my newspaper organizing guild. When I worked in an open shop, I got written up for organizing on the job. I believe in collective bargaining. I believe teachers need a union. And I also believe we need to end last in, first out. I became active on this issue because in the last decade, Minneapolis Public Schools has lost 28% of its student population, leading to a loss of over 1,000 teaching positions. In the last couple years, it's stabilized, but I personally lived through what happens, and parents like me watch what happens when you have the mindless insanity of quality-based layoffs that are solely based on seniority. Over and over and over again, we saw terrific, dynamic teachers laid off, and in almost every case, unfortunately, replaced by ones who were less effective to mediocre or dismal. The loss of human talent and potential and diversity, I'm telling you, it was jaw-dropping. We lost teachers of the year. We lost half our teachers of color, and this is in a district where 70% of our students are white, and 70% of our students are kids of color, and 85% of our teachers are white. Under last and first off, we lost half in raw numbers. It was like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre comes to your school every single spring, year after year after year. And I'm telling you, the moral bankruptcy of quality-blind seniority layoffs was really laid bare for all of us to see. So people like me who come here as solid DFLers from the Keith Wellstone, Keith Ellison, Paul Wellstone, Frank Hornstein, and Scott Dibble wing of the party, we are here supporting this bill. And it's not because we don't get it. We support it because we do get it. We have lived through it. And you know, for years, I mean, I watched all this, and I did not organize, and I did not say anything because I am a progressive DFLer and a longtime union supporter, and I was told that quality-blind layoffs was the foundation of the union system, and that if you got rid of it, the whole union collapsed, and besides, no one could really tell who was an effective teacher anyways. I guess I have two responses to that. One is there is not and there never will be a completely perfect fail-safe way to evaluate any human being. But the truth is there are plenty of research-tested, research-proven, test-driven ways to evaluate teachers, and we do not need another 5 to 10 years to keep studying or stalling this thing. And the second thing, if the moral foundation of the union is quality-blind seniority, I can just say as a supporter of labor, we need to find a better moral foundation because that just isn't good enough, and it's not sustainable. So I got to the point where I felt that LIFO, last in, first out, and many of these contract rules violated so many of my core values as a DFLer. The idea of great education for kids, the idea of social justice, the idea of racial equity, of good governance, of sound use of taxpayer dollars, I had to ask myself how many core DFL values was I willing to keep compromising in order to support last in, first out, and other parts of the system that really have very little public support outside of the union. You know, to continue to support these really deeply unpopular policies, I think really undermines our, I'm going to just say, talk to the DFLers. Republicans, go take a smoke. You know, I mean, just, but... You know, I think it really hurts our credibility. And, you know, 90% of the people of the state send their kids to public schools. And MNCAN is going to present to you some of the results of a poll that shows about 90% of the people in the state support this policy. So I think when we as DFLers continue to support policies that are not effective and the people know it and don't like it, it really hurts our party's credibility. And we're not doing our friends in labor any favors, because if friends don't let friends drive drunk, friends of union should not let them drive off a cliff of public opinion. And trust me, LIFO is a cliff. It really is. You're going to hear testimony from people saying that we don't need this because we already get rid of our ineffective teachers. Lynn Norgren is behind me. She's the president of the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers. She's a fellow blonde who loves dogs. She's a great person, but we happen to disagree on this issue. And I have heard many times in the past that we don't need this because ineffective teachers can be getting rid of, and because we have these wonderful policies in Minneapolis that do that. Well, the truth is,
under the union's own union's own statistics, they've counseled out 500 teachers in 15 years, you may hear. That's about 1% of our workforce. That means 99% are supposedly effective. That's not credible in any profession. So I'm just saying I would love to see come out of this a clean bill, no tricks, no little things that poison pills added that makes progressives like me just can't have to back away. A clean bill that can be taken and voted on an up and down vote in the House and sent to the governor to sign. And I'm told that might be a nightmare scenario because I don't know why. So I'm telling you, if you want to subvert, if it's supposed to be a nightmare scenario and all the Republicans vote against it and then all the Democrats vote against it and then look bad, Democrats, subvert it. Support this bill. It's clean. Let's have a bipartisan piece of legislation that Governor Dayton can sign, and it would be great. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Any questions on Ms. Michelson?
Madam Chair.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you. And I would love to have you back at the chair. All right. if you may, if you could please come back.
Yes.
Thank you. I have to remember our meeting in your kitchen, and I have to appreciate your passion and renew my commitment to work with you. There are some issues that I think are important to recognize, and I do need to say that publicly because I understand the passion that you bring to the table, and I understand the argument. I want you to know that we have not had a conversation that is a bipartisan conversation about this bill. This is the first time I've seen it, and I've been meeting with you for 3 years on it. Okay? So I understand your message about working in a bipartisan way and going through this language in a way that truly speaks to the values that you just articulated. I want that just as bad as you do. In fact, I ran for office because of that. So I want to work with Senator Wolf, and I want to work with you and all of the members that are around the table. I have not seen this bill until now. We had to call an emergency meeting with the staff in the Department of Education to really go over this and figure out what are the legal implications. Because part of what this opens at this point for us is precisely what you want to avoid, which is lawsuits. So what did we have in place? What do we have now? We don't have an evaluation system. So we're going to have a period of time that we're going to have a criteria for laying off teachers without an evaluation. So what Senator Wolf is preparing to do and what you are articulating is correct. We need to get there. There is absolutely no question in our minds, and I want you to know this because you emphatically described the DFL. We want to be with you. We want quality. We run for office because we want that in our schools. So here is the problem about this bill as it is right now. We don't have an evaluation system in place that will help us build the criteria to measure effectiveness, right? So we want to measure effectiveness so that we have that as a criteria, just like seniority and all of these criteria, to get to that place. We're going to be for 3 years until 2016. Without that. But we opened the door to say, well, seniority's out. Well, you know, we talk a lot about seniority even here and say, you know, should the senior senator, senior representative should be in that chair? Well, we don't know. I mean, we have to talk about it, right? Seniority, but it's kind of a fair process, right? The person has been here. They have worked. We know how they work. There is a process in place today in the school systems that really, you know, parents and teachers and administrators, and Senator, I have an amendment that I would like to offer because this is a team effort. How do you conduct evaluations of teachers need to involve parents, in my view. Parents need to come and say, this teacher is ineffective. I'm going to be very involved, and I hope you are, in the process of developing this criteria for evaluating teachers. The problem here is we don't have that yet. So I just want to say this. You have my commitment. I want to make this absolutely public. I want you to know, I'm not going to speak for all the Democrats at this table, but I want you to know that this is an issue that we care about very, very deeply and that we want to vote for and we want bipartisan support and we want the governor to sign. The process that we are engaging in is going to develop, is going to ignite some litigious process in here that is not going to help us get there. We need to get the evaluation piece in place. We need to develop the criteria to measure effectiveness, and then we need to put these pieces together. That I just wanted to make that clear because I share your passion. I want you to keep working on this, and as my constituent, I admire you for being here, and I want to get this done. But I want you to know that the timing of this is pretty critical, and I'd like to invite, in fact, the department to explain this to us. We can expedite both. I mean, like the chair said, we can put some language here that could expedite both processes, but one doesn't go without the other. That's the problem that we're facing.
I think our timeline is attempting to address that, but let's get on with the testimony. But before
thanks
that,
so much, Senator. I really appreciate your commitment.
Thank you.
I hope all of you work together and do this. Thanks.
Thank you.
Senator Stump?
thank you, Madam Chair. In your testimony, you mentioned about the annual event of going through layoffs, and I think that there's another part of the problem, at least in our education agenda the last number of years, quite a few of them, in fact, that we haven't really addressed the funding aspect of education the way we should have. And a lot of the layoffs were basically funding driven. I mean, some of them were demographics, obviously, as you looked at, you know, the movement of people from one area to another and so on, declining in populations and so on. But to a large extent, we have not lived up to our commitment in addressing the funding costs of programs, and so we do end up with a situation where school districts are, you know, issuing huge layoff pink slips and then layoffs and wondering whether they're going to be able to pass a referendum in the fall or whatever. So it does make the process a very difficult process for school districts, and I'd be thinking in the back of my mind that I'm sure school board members are going to be thinking long and hard whether they can save money with this legislation, even though the amendment that Senator Bonhoeff added is in there, because when it's crunch time, you know, they're looking at every possible way to balance that budget.
Senator Stone, thanks for your remarks. I have to say, just as a parent and as a Democrat, one of my frustrations in the education discussions is that I feel like we as Democrats, we will only say we need more funding, and we won't talk about reform, and Republicans will simply talk about reform and bounce the funding, and we need both. We need both. We shouldn't have to choose between one or another. And in this particular case, I don't think there's a conflict. Most of the layoffs in Minneapolis were because thousands of families were choosing other options.
Okay. Thank you very much. We are using up the time here fast. Could you prioritize on the pro side? Which one?
I don't even have a list, Madam Chair.
Well, we've got Chris Stewart from the African American Leadership Forum. Is it Mitra Nelson, former teacher, community member? Nathan Strange, a teacher. Jerry Powell, Students First. Ellie Barrow, Mincan. Benjamin Art from the Students for Education Reform. Kirk Schneiderwin, but I think you've been up there. But Government Relations and MS. Well, that's all one.
Madam Chair,
I ask too. Senate Media has asked us to remind you that cell phones need to be turned off in this room. It interferes with the system. So if you have got your cell phones on, appreciate if you shut them off.
Madam Chair, for the sake of time, may I suggest that we ask anyone here who is here to testify as a teacher come up first, and not anybody that represents a group as a lobbyist. Because I know teachers did have to take the day off and use their personal time to be here, so I would like them to be able to come first.
If there's anybody that's here from some distance, too. So, Don't be shy. Introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Nathan Stringy. Thank you, Madam Chair, Senators, for having me here today. Let me start my testimony by saying nearly 3 years ago, I graduated summa cum laude with mathematics and secondary education from Augustana College. After student teaching in Switzerland in the fall of 2009, I got a job at a very good school district, Lakeville, where I was teaching AP Statistics and Algebra 2 at Lakeville South High School. The first year I was there as the primary teacher of juniors in the school, our MCA math scores went up from 54% the year before to 76% in 2010, whereas the statewide proficiency levels that year rose from 42% to 43%. And like I said, I was the primary teacher of juniors in the school, having about a third of the juniors in Lakeville South. I was also teaching AP Statistics, and the school, the district, sent me that summer to the AP Statistics seminar at Carleton College, and the district paid for my certification in AP Statistics. The following year, I kept teaching AP Statistics, as well as Algebra 2, and I was also asked mid-year if I could also take over for a maternity leave to teach honors pre-calculus, and I did. I was the only teacher in the entire 12-person department who had three distinct preps. I had full endorsement from my principal, but as many of you know, Lakeville had a budget crisis in 2011, and due to that, I was forced to be let go. I am currently teaching at the St. Paul Conservatory for Performing Artists. I am enjoying my experience there, but I was let go because of the last-in, first-out policy.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bonham.
Madam Chair, and tell me your last name again.
Stringy.
Strand. So thank you for your testimony, and that's actually why I did that amendment, because without the amendment that we put on today, this bill in its current form wouldn't have even helped you.
But, thank you for that.
But with this amendment, it's actually getting so, you know, if it goes through, this wouldn't have happened to you. And so thank you for your outstanding and excellent
thank
service.
You.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you. Is there any others on the list that we named that would like to come quickly? And if you want to testify, you can come up as soon as he's finished there, too.
Members of the committee, I want to thank you, first of all, for your time and your consideration today. I appreciate your process. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share my thoughts and what I believe
is
a teacher perspective.
Would you introduce yourself for the record?
Say that again.
Say your name for the record.
I apologize. My name is Mitra Nelson, everyone. It is very nice to meet you. Thank you. My name is Mitra Jalali Nelson, and I am a community member living in North Minneapolis, which has been my home since 2010. As a former teacher in Minneapolis Public Schools, a volunteer youth worker in an after-school program, and a lifelong Minnesotan, product of the Minnesota public school system and constituent, I urge you to support Senate File 1690. I want to share a story about the power of quality teachers and the need for quality-based accountability measures like this bill that comes from my time in the classroom in Minneapolis. I was part of a team of seventh grade teachers last year that worked with the same class of seventh grade students. We spent upwards of 10 hours at school a day with our students, let alone after hours making lesson plans, starting at 7:30 in the morning when they all arrived for breakfast, to 5:30 at night when buses began to arrive and students boarded them to go home. And among this team of teachers today, I wish to highlight one. Nicole, whose last name I omit for privacy, was our seventh grade English language arts teacher. Her students knew her as a teacher, a joker, a human dictionary, an actress, and above all, a champion of absolute tough love and high expectations. She woke up every single day at 5 in the morning to drive from Bloomington to downtown Minneapolis and ensure that her students got an outstanding education that day. Nicole had been teaching our students for 2 years by the time I arrived at our school, and many staff who had been with her during that entirety of that time remarked that the students had undergone a remarkable, incredible transformation from being in her classroom. In the 2 years that they were led by Nicole, our seventh graders grew together and on average 4 years in reading and 2 years in writing ability. That is a combined 6 years of growth together on an average in college essential academic areas. One of our special ed students, David, came to us in the sixth grade and he was unable to write a complete sentence. After 2 years in the classroom with Nicole, David was writing coherent, grammatically correct, five-paragraph essays on fictional novels. There's one more thing to know about Nicole in this story, which is that all of these gains that were produced occurred by the end of her second year in teaching. In her first 2 years of teaching, Nicole had already produced 6 years of gains for seventh graders. If policies like LIFO that are based literally on the amount of time that you've spent teaching since the first day that you picked up the chalk are allowed to continue, and if they had been enacted at my school, David would no longer be able to write a sentence today. And the entire seventh grade wouldn't be able to read and write on grade level. They could potentially be on entirely different pathways. And they would have lost ground they may never have gotten back. Students are in classrooms right now being affected by these policies, and I appreciate the consideration being given to deliberation and thoughtfulness, and I feel that this is a very thoughtful group of lawmakers. And at the same time, the time to make changes is now. Because of students like David who are learning to write right now and finish a complete sentence, even though they're in the sixth grade. And lastly, to those unfamiliar with all of the data that support the case against quality blind layoff policies, I just want to offer this story because I think that you can read 100 reports and they're all going to tell you different things. And whoever writes them and wants you to believe in what they believe is going to write them however they want to make you believe in them. But I think that you can't fake 2 years of 10 to 12 hour days in the classroom. You can't deny the five-paragraph essay on the outsiders that David wrote and edited to perfection last year. And you can't sit in a classroom full of seventh graders who all know how to question and make critical high-level comments and observations about the book A Raisin in the Sun and decide that it should all be taken away from them because their teacher is only in their second or third year of teaching. The fact of the matter is that high expectations for students work, and we need to continue to maintain high expectations for adults as well, for those teachers that are responsible for educating them. 99 to 100% of my students live and go to school in North Minneapolis. They are my neighbors, they are my students, they are my inspiration, and they are also this one group of individuals in Minnesota that can't vote. So I think it's our job as adults to consider them first when we make decisions about their education. There are literally thousands of teachers who can't be here today to advocate for this because they're committed to their classroom and their students first. It's their job in the domain of their classrooms to make sure that their students receive an incredible education regardless of the obstacles that may or may not support them. And in your domain, in these chambers of the legislature, I believe that this is your job too. This bill is our chance to say that we want the best performers regardless of years in the league in our team, that we want to expand the circle of talent, not diminish the existing pool of talent, to make sure that Minnesota continues to be an incredible, excellent educational system. So I respectfully ask that you support my student, David, that you support his teacher, Nicole, and all the seventh graders that I knew and taught in our state, and that you would vote yes for Senate File 1690 to eliminate quality blind layoffs, to vote yes to high expectations for our students and for our teachers, and to ensure that our state continues to be the incredible education system that it is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you. Sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Benjamin Arndt, and I'm a member for Students for Education Reform. I'm currently a freshman at the University of Minnesota and pursuing a career in high school education. As a potential future educator and most recent benefactor of the K-12 teachers, performance being taken into consideration as a factor for layoffs is something that I consider necessary. In my last year of school, a brilliant young woman teaching English was neglected the extension of her contract due simply to the fact that positions were already filled by less effective, more senior teachers. The lack of performance consideration is a present and has been an ongoing problem. Looking to become a teacher myself, there is no greater cause of apprehension than my job being at risk for the sole reason of my youth. Having an education specified to a certain career with so little job security is a daunting perspective. This bill will give up-and-coming teachers like myself the opportunities we need without putting the teachers' schools need at risk. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, Jerry Powell and Valet Vero here.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jerry Powell. I am a state director for Students First. We are a national, bipartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to transforming public education in America. We are a membership-based organization with more than 1 million members nationwide, joining since our founding in December of 2010. I am proud to be here on behalf of over 17,000 Students First Minnesota members, and I'm here to voice Students First's strong support of SF-1690, a bill which will put an end to the damaging practice of seniority-based layoffs in Minnesota. Research confirms that teachers are the most important in-school factor that affects student learning. Yet in Minnesota currently, teacher quality is ignored when districts are forced to make unfortunate decisions to lay off teachers in tough economic times. Minnesota is one of only 11 states left in the country that requires teacher layoffs to be based on length of service, not the quality of the teacher's work with students. Ending quality-blind, seniority-based layoffs is critical to ensuring the state's best teachers are kept in the classroom. I want to highlight a critical point backed by research. Seniority-based layoffs disproportionately disadvantages schools in high-need areas. Studies have shown that seniority-based layoffs negatively impact highest-need schools the most. These schools have the largest numbers of new teachers who are the first to lose their jobs when layoffs occur. One study revealed that quality-blind, seniority-based layoffs result in 25% more layoffs in the poorest schools than the wealthiest schools. This means that for every 100 positions eliminated in a wealthy suburban district, 125 teachers would be let go in a poor urban district, disrupting the classrooms of an additional 615 students. Ending seniority-based layoffs is good sense. It is the right thing to do. It is what your constituents want. Over 400 Students First Minnesota members have signed a petition to urge Minnesota lawmakers to end the practice. It is not a Republican or Democratic issue. It is simply a matter of putting teacher effectiveness ahead of other considerations in the unfortunate event that layoffs are necessary due to budget constraints. And it is a matter of putting students first. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Senators. Thank you for hearing my testimony in support of this bill that positions our state to reward and retain its greatest teachers. My name is Valet Varo, and I'm the founding executive director of MinCAN, the Minnesota Campaign for Achievement Now. In 2011, thanks to your leadership and the governor's commitment to education, Minnesota passed its first statewide teacher evaluation framework. It will provide us with a trusted system to make personnel decisions based on teacher performance. This, however, is not enough. Our evaluation system will only drive gains in student achievement if we connect it with common sense reforms. So to make Minnesota's teacher evaluation system even more valuable, we believe that we must use this information to make key decisions regarding staffing. Senate File 1690 does this. This bill prizes, recognizes, and rewards effective teachers and is scheduled to go into effect 3 years after Minnesota rolls out its new teacher evaluation system. This timeline is reasonable and is necessary for our students. There are many people here today speaking in opposition to or in support of this bill, and part of MinCAN's job is to make sure that we ask everyday Minnesotans what their thoughts are, to pay attention to the issues, and then to make sure that we tell you what they think.
So this morning, MNCAN released the findings of a just-completed comprehensive statewide survey on Minnesota public education, and particularly around staffing decisions. We successfully polled 1,000 Minnesotans across the state, and our sample size is proportioned to state census data and cuts across all geographies and demographics in Minnesota, including Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And the voices of Minnesotans are unified, and the results are pretty compelling. So here's what we found out. First, Minnesotans agree on how to measure teacher performance. I think all of you know that because of your leadership from last year. But to affirm that, 80% think that student test scores are important when evaluating teacher performance. 84% think evaluations of the teacher conducted by the principal are important when evaluating teacher performance. And 97% of respondents consider student learning progress as measured by a combination of knowledge, study skills, grades, and test scores important in determining a teacher's performance. Again, that's 97% of respondents. Minnesotans also want to make teacher layoffs based on performance. 96% believe that student learning progress should be an important factor in determining which teachers to lay off first. In fact, among five factors to consider in teacher layoff decisions, Minnesotans overall put student learning progress in first place and years of experience in fourth place. And if teacher layoffs are required, most respondents, 91%, believe that seniority should be considered, but the primary factor should be teacher performance. And we couldn't agree more. Many experienced teachers are highly effective, but the number of years a teacher spends in the classroom beyond the initial 3 to 5 years of teaching provides little indication of the quality of their teaching. And moreover, a clear majority of respondents, 79%, believe laying off a teacher based primarily on seniority hurts the quality of our education for our students. So intuition, research, and now the voices of our fellow Minnesotans tell us that teachers are the most important in-school factor for student success. I think this is the third time we've heard that today. Highly effective teachers positively impact the course of a child's academic and professional life. And in fact, students taught by a very effective teacher for a single year may gain up to a full year's worth of additional academic growth compared to a student assigned to a less effective teacher. It is unconscionable that in the year 2012, our achievement gaps and educational disparities among Minnesota students in many instances are widening. They are immoral and a grave disservice to our collective future. Senate File 1690 presents an opportunity to retain our greatest teachers who are among the most capable to reduce our achievement gap. So, Madam Chair and Senators, Minnesotans are clearly voicing their appreciation of and value of great teachers. I hope their voices embolden you, state policymakers and leaders, to keep your promise of a quality education for all of our Minnesota students. That starts with an effective teacher standing in front of every single classroom. So please support this step to make sure that every Minnesota student has access to great public education. Thank you very much.
I think we should take some time here for the opponents.
Madam Chair.
A couple of them come.
Just as the next person comes up, I would just urge all those who have testified to be involved in the evaluation process as it moves forward, because I think that's definitely going to be a challenge for everyone to develop a good adequate evaluation process.
Thank you. Well said, Senator Stump. Who wants to go first here?
Okay.
Sir.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Kurt Rock. I'm a second grade teacher in Foley. I've been teaching 31 years, and I'm currently the co-president of our local teachers union, the Foley United Educators. Foley's a small community east of St. Cloud. I urge you to oppose this bill. This mandate is trying to create something that is a one-size-fits-all solution to a concern that is not a one-size-fits-all situation. The Foley United Educators have worked with the Foley School District since 2004 on this very issue. Collaboratively, we created a growth and evaluation plan that works for non-tenured teachers, continuing contract teachers, and teachers who've needing some assistance. This mandate would undermine what we have created and what we're currently using. Evaluation and seniority are two different issues and should not be tied together. Evaluation is determined summoning's effectiveness, and seniority is a process created so that dismissal can be dealt with in an orderly and fair way. The Foley Growth and Evaluation Plan was created jointly by the teachers, administrators, and school board members in 2004. When we created this plan, we wanted to emphasize the growth part of being observed as well as the evaluation piece. Our plan has three tracks. We have a non-tenured track, which has the mandated three yearly formal observations for 3 years. We have the continuing contract track for teachers who are granted tenure. On this track, a teacher is given a formal observation and evaluation every 5 years. We have an assistance track for those tenured teachers the administrator feels needs some help. The tenured track is in the hands of the building administrator to do the observations, the evaluations, so in 3 years, a logical decision can be determined whether the tenure of that teacher should be granted or not. The teachers on the continuing contract track are working on yearly goals that are aligned with their building or district goals. These teachers are formally observed and evaluated every 5 years. In between the 5 years, the teachers are working on their goals and still being visited by the building administrator on a more informal basis with walkthrough observations and reviewing the teachers' goals yearly. This is where the majority of our teachers in Foley are. The teachers who are on the assistance track are either on the awareness phase working with an assistance team or being encouraged to take a different career path. The awareness phase is a year-long process where the teacher is working with a union representative to try and improve the areas the building administrator feels is lacking. At the end of the year, the teacher is either put on the continuing contract track or they are placed on the assistance track with a team of teachers picked by the teacher and the superintendent. This team of 5 or 6 people spend the year working with the teacher, going over the administrator's directives, making suggestions, monitoring the progress of the teacher with monthly meetings. At the end of the year, the superintendent looks over all the evidence of progress and evaluations done by the administrator and determines if the teacher has made adequate progress to return to the continuing contract track, or is the problem still evident and the teacher will either be moved towards termination or another placement can be found. Since 2004, we have had 4 tenured teachers on this assistance track. One teacher held a license in another area, so she was moved to that area and is doing great. Another teacher did not use her assistance team very effectively and chose to resign. One teacher chose to retire. And currently, the teacher this year is doing very well and will most likely be placed back on the continuing contract track at the end of this year. This past fall, I was appointed by the Commissioner of Education to serve on the State Teacher Evaluation Task Force, which was created to help implement the law that was passed just last year to have a teacher evaluation model in place by 2014 for districts to use if they do not have an evaluation process in place already. I see this bill as being a direct conflict of interest to the law that was just passed a year ago. I urge you to not move this bill forward and to let the state task force do its job and create a viable teacher evaluation model that school districts can use and let those districts like Foley, who have a great plan in place, to continue doing the great work they do already. Thank you for your time.
Questions?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak today. It is really an honor to be a part of this process. My name is Mary Catherine Ricker, and I'm a National Board Certified Middle School English teacher, currently serving as president of the St. Paul Federation of Teachers. We represent just over 3,000 teachers working in St. Paul Public Schools. First thing I would like to do is extend an invitation to all of you, both on the committee and in the audience, to come to St. Paul to learn what we've got going on. We all in St. Paul care intensely about quality teaching. That's one of the reasons I wanted to run for this position in particular. I also know that the 38,000 students of St. Paul Public Schools have one shot at a great K-12 education. Not only because I've had the privilege of teaching about 1,000 of them so far, but because two of those 38,000 are my own. I care intensely about a school staff that reflects our students. Our whole school district cares intensely about a school staff that reflects all of our students. No school district has worked harder at diversifying our workforce than St. Paul Public Schools. Our union has also developed Career Teacher, our alternative licensure program, which includes future educators of St. Paul, an intensive career exploration opportunity. If Minnesota's teaching force is to be diversified, I believe those teachers are coming from St. Paul. This bill does not help us diversify our profession. The work that St. Paul has done will help us diversify the profession. We also believe passionately that quality teaching must be addressed all year, which is why I support a strong teacher evaluation system. Recently, it was our privilege to negotiate improvements to our peer assistance and review teacher support and evaluation system so that we now offer a full spectrum system, the system that Minnesota's first Race to the Top application was modeled after. What full spectrum means is that it supports every teacher at every level all year through their entire career. Probationary teachers are supported so that tenure is never an accident. Strong tenured teachers are supported, for example, when they want to achieve their National Board certification, when they're going into a new grade level, or when they're looking for a leadership position. And our struggling teachers are supported to determine efficiently whether they can be improved and continue the privilege of meeting the needs of our students or whether they need to be exited from our profession. This bill does nothing to support a strong evaluation system. Our union and our district have worked to design a strong evaluation system, and I am extremely honored to be a part of the work for the state system that will be developed. No one should have to cut a strong teacher. Layoffs are about budget constraints. If teacher quality is our goal, and I really trust that it is, then the focus needs to be on our evaluation system and the accountability for participating in that system, which you wisely addressed by requiring that evaluation be an annual effort. And the focus needs to be on the budget needed to support that evaluation system. Our time would be better spent, and we would save great teachers. My superintendent has worked extremely hard to find the money to support our evaluation system as best as she can. You need to support her in doing that work. Spend at least as much time discussing the ideas of the Commissioner's Working Group on School Finances, which was released last May. Please spend at least as much time discussing the financial tales the Budget Office identified that were a part of the evaluation law. It should be considered malpractice to wait until layoff time to remove a low-performing teacher. This bill will not get us a stronger teaching force. The kind of work we've been doing in St. Paul will. This year alone, our superintendent has documented over 5,000 evaluations and observations of our 3,000 teachers, a pattern that is firmly established in St. Paul. And with that, we've had fewer improvement plans this year than we have in the last 3 years because our job is working. We are not waiting for layoffs. Please visit us in St. Paul to learn about this work. Spend time on a budget that supports teaching and learning so Ms. Flood's teacher doesn't have to be cut for budget reasons. And please vote against this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Riker, I think that there are a couple of issues that we hear here, and one is very definitely we need to move into implementing a better system of conducting evaluations and getting to a place where we really can recognize quality teachers and compensate them. And here, I have the same hesitation, right? I want to get to this point, and mm-hmm. I want to get to a point where we conduct these evaluations and take into account these multiple factors. Mm-hmm. So if we were to do this together, if we were to look at key specific aspects of evaluation and effectiveness that we should incorporate into this bill so that they go together. Because part of it I think we're putting ourselves in a very kind of tough place, right? I think Senator Wolf really wants to move forward something that we value. I think you and I, all of us value that, right? We need to recognize teachers that are helping us educate our kids and moving them forward, deal with the achievement gap. I think all of those values are the same. Mm-hmm. Part of the question here is the process. So if we were to make this work, to have this recipe work together, could you help us identify what are the components that need to be here or need to be out? It can't be that it's a total, you know, either or, that this is not helpful and that we need to get rid of it. Help us understand what are some of the components that could be incorporated into a proposal like this that help us look at evaluation. Because that's my hesitation with the bill. The bill is kind of halfway there. We need to look at how do we conduct evaluations and how do we just measure outside seniority other aspects of teaching, right? And I think you agree with that. We're working towards that with the evaluation. Is there a way to look at that recipe right now? Do we need more time? I feel like we need more time, but that's just my personal opinion.
Ms. Ricker?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And taking more time for everything is a strategy this session, but let's keep moving here.
I'll be very brief. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Torres-Rae, my major hesitation with this is that we are waiting to this bill suggests that we wait to address teacher quality until layoff time, and I am absolutely opposed to that. Teacher quality needs to be year-long work, and if we have weak teachers, we should not be waiting until May to identify them and remove them from the classroom. We have done those students an entire year of disservice. Mm-hmm. Our focus needs to be on the evaluation system that removes a struggling teacher that can't or won't improve sooner than May. And that so my major hesitation with this is that the focus is waiting until May to make a very important decision, and that just shouldn't happen.
Well, Ms. Ricker, I think the point is this is focusing on this aspect of retaining quality teachers. The evaluation needs to come, mm-hmm. and that as well as the ongoing, what you're saying is that's part of the ongoing process. This isn't changing that. And I would think that our administrators, our people in our school districts are committed enough that they are going to work toward that end on an ongoing basis. But the issue is when layoffs come, what is the basis for it? And that's all that she's addressing, and I don't know that we can wrap this all up into one huge package. That's not what we're doing here this year.
Mm-hmm. And so my response to that, Madam Chair and Senator Torres-Rae, would be that when our evaluation system works and we have either improved or removed our struggling teachers and it comes to layoff time and the budget is forcing us to cut a teacher so it is not about quality, then experience matters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Senator Stump, did you have a quick one?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know the time is tight, but I'll pass.
Okay, Senator Bonham?
Madam Chair, I just want to take the opportunity to thank Ms. Ricker for her work when I was working on Race to the Top and your creative drafting so that we put together legislation that might meet that, and I appreciated working with you on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Bonham. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Senator Nelson?
No, my question was answered. Okay.
Chair Olson and Senators, good afternoon. I am Lynn Norgren. I am president of the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers, 3,300 teachers strong. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I have yet to meet anyone in the world of education or in our community throughout our society who does not believe in a solid quality education, who doesn't want good teaching and learning, and who doesn't want kids to leave our schools with an education that will help them have a bright future. It is why I became, and so many other teachers went into the profession. That's what our heart and our passion is about. Teaching and learning are very complex. I think over time we've simplified them, but what we know is that we are not widgets as teachers, nor are we widgets as students. It is hugely complex. We do a brain surgery every day without the luxury of opening up that brain and watching the synapse fire. We have to watch those kids, their eyes, their behavior, their engagement, to understand what really is going on. It would be a mistake to allow the decision about the future of what's good for students and what's fair for teachers to rest on a decision that's made at the end of the year by one person. Teaching is complex, and it requires multiple measures over time to discern what's effective and what's not. We can tell when somebody's really not making it. That we can tell. But we can't distinguish, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. That is why, first of all, over 20 years ago, the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers developed many programs to ensure quality. I left a job that I was born to do and loved passionately because I wanted to see quality teaching in every classroom, and I didn't think that we had it. There was always one or two or three teachers within my building, that building I was in, that needed support, and nothing was happening. So I left to make sure that we were working on those issues. We developed the Standards of Effective Instruction, the first in the country to ever have it in our contract, and we still are one of the few that does. Those standards were to tell teachers, because there was nothing before that. There was National Board for Professional Teaching Standards and a few other college-level things, but there was really nothing for me as a teacher to look at on a daily basis to say, am I doing okay, or what are the expectations? So we developed them based on lots of research from around the country, the National Board being one, and we put those in our contract, and we use them with all new teachers who come in, along with their mentors, and we use them with all teachers who are struggling, and then we ask teachers who are neither one of those two to use them as a reflective tool. We also created achievement of tenure. We felt it was not enough just to show up, put in your 3 years, and have a few evaluations. We wanted to make sure that there was much more depth to ensuring that our teachers were going to be guaranteed high quality once they achieved tenure. Didn't mean that you still couldn't lose your job. You could. But that we wanted to make sure that they would there would be a guarantee. The achievement of tenure is a very rigorous process, does include observations, and it also helps us cull out teachers who we feel maybe that this is not the profession for them, so we can ensure that quality in the future. We created a professional development process in which all teachers have a plan with goals and strategies focused on students. They have a team of which the principal is a part of that team. They meet throughout the year to achieve those goals. That was instead of having a free-for-all, which we had for many years. Now, we still had high-quality teaching going on without these things, but we wanted to ensure that we had it. If a teacher, however, was not making it through their PDP, as we call it, we have something called the professional support process. That means you're going to get a little more help. You're going to have a mentor who comes in. Your team's going to stick with you. Your principal's going to be there. But it's going to be a very specific plan based on the standards of effective instruction. You're going to have more observations and many more strategies to help you. To help you first, try to improve your practice. Because sometimes we have people who just need a little tweaking. Maybe they changed a grade level or a content area. Or maybe they had some struggles in their own lives for a few months and things were not working for them. So we don't want to lose a good teacher, so we made sure that they got the support that they needed. But if we found that there was a teacher who was unwilling or unable to improve their practice, we moved them out. Now, you heard Ms. Michelson quote a statistic. One of the reasons the statistic is low is because we didn't have to fire a lot of these people. We were able to counsel them out to get them to retire early or to leave the profession or to go on a leave to get maybe improve their practice and get some more education. Or sometimes they just didn't come back to the school district. So we know through this process that we've had upwards to almost 500 teachers that we've been able to move out of our profession in Minneapolis, and we've also helped just as many get better. We have also, for time I'm going to skip over that.
Thank you. We need to wrap up here.
I want to say that I'm not going to repeat what I said, but I do believe evaluation and seniority need to be separate, and I just want to give you a story. There were four administrators and a teacher leader who is a specialist in mathematics doing learning walks, and observations. They walked into a classroom of a younger teacher, a newer teacher, and they were wowed. Off, they just said, oh my gosh, this teacher, we have got to make videotapes of this teacher. We have got to show this to everybody. We're all going to sit down and learn how to be a great teacher by watching this teacher. And the math teacher said, yes, but the math is all wrong. Now, was that teacher just having a problem that day, or was it the books? Because sometimes we know that we know through studies that our curriculum is often wrong. We also know that, or was it that this teacher needed help in math, period? She clearly had some skills, clearly skills that we didn't want to lose, but there were other things happening there. Now, had that other teacher, that specialist, not been there, those principals would not have known. Now, I'm not trying to throw principals under the bus. They have an extremely hard job. They care as much as anybody else. But that just speaks to the thought that we do not have this clearly identified on what exactly is top-notch teaching. We have got to allow the time for the teacher evaluation process to be created before we move into this law that will willy-nilly have. I'll tell you one more thing. We will be afraid as teachers to speak up. We will not have academic freedom because we will be afraid that at the end of the year, if we say something the principal doesn't like, or we challenge some thinking, or want to try something that's a little out of the box, that we will be afraid at the end of the year we will lose our job because we were not lockstep in place with what the principal believed. We think this is bad timing and a bad way to go.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jan Allswager, Education Minnesota.
At a quarter to, we are going to stop. So,
and I would state that Education Minnesota wants quality teachers as much as every one of you. And Education Minnesota sat in front of the education committees and said, we want an evaluation system. We might have disagreed a little bit about what it looked like, but now that we have an evaluation system, we want it to work. Here is the main problem, and it's been stated by the other testifiers. Evaluation is one process. Seniority is another process. I must first say that teacher unions across the state have counseled out thousands of teachers from the profession. I recently talked, you've heard it here today, but I talked to a suburban union president, and he said, you know, the other teachers in the buildings aren't even going to know that this teacher had a serious problem. The parents aren't going to know, but the union and the administration work together to figure out how to either help that teacher or remove that teacher from the profession. I really want you to give unions credit for the work that they are doing. Evaluation. You just passed the law. Let's let it work. Seniority. What is that? It provides order for dismissing teachers. If you have a quality evaluation system, seniority should not be a problem. We are asking you to help us put in a quality evaluation system. I want you to think about the message you are sending our teachers. Last year you said you should work with the administration at the local district level to implement a new evaluation system. But yet in your bill here, take a look at page 2 on line 2.8, starting at 2.7. It says the school board and the exclusive bargaining representative of the teachers may negotiate a plan to base on requested leave of absence on da-da-da. May. There is no obligation to negotiate. And then on line 2.13, if the school board fails successfully to negotiate, at which they didn't even have to go to the table, they can implement their own plan. What message are you sending teachers? You just told them you want them to get a hold of their profession, evaluate their whole profession. But in this bill, you're saying it really doesn't matter what you're doing with the evaluation because the administration doesn't have to negotiate and they can implement whatever they want. The categories aren't even defined yet. There is a problem with this.
I want you to think of about a math teacher who's been teaching for 30 years. Is thought of to be one of the best teachers ever. And you have some declining enrollment, and you need another science teacher. And the administrator goes to the science teacher and the math teacher and says, you know what? You are such a good math teacher, and we need somebody to fill in the science. We don't want to lose you. So you go to the department or the board of teaching, and you ask for a waiver or a variance. And that teacher then has some problems teaching science because he isn't a science teacher. And because of this, if this is implemented, that successful math teacher could be terminated through the seniority process because they weren't effective in science. Because if you look at lines 2.31, a substantially different grade level assignment means an assignment between kindergarten grades 1 through 6, junior high, and senior high. So people who have multiple license and could be a great teacher in two different license areas would not be able to move over. Special ed, you've got teachers who get multiple licenses in special ed. You're going to lose special ed teachers. I want to tell you a story about a teacher, a true story. Went into the courts, I guess it was, through arbitration, I should say, excuse me. A teacher who is at an IEP meeting for a special ed student, and someone in management type says to the, is conducting the meeting, and the PACER advocate says to the teacher, did this happen? So on. Did this happen? What are the numbers here? I won't go into the specifics. And the teacher answered them accurately. As a teacher, you do what is ethical and honest, and you answer those questions as an advocate for kids. What happened to this teacher? She's written a letter of reprimand because money issues, because let's not expose this. Whatever the reason is, I'm not 100% sure what the reason is. But you can be sure that that teacher who was being an advocate for the kids would probably, and who had got a letter of reprimand, would not be considered effective. This is going into place far too early. We have, it's delayed 1 year, but that is not enough time. We have principals who are going through the training process and evaluation process. They'll be done 1 year before the teacher evaluation process will be in place. Do we really think that the upper administration superintendents can get through all of the through all of the principals and make sure that all the principals are effective? Because as a teacher, I only want effective principals evaluating me. And I fear that you could have ineffective principals, although some would debate that there are no ineffective principals, really evaluating teachers and making a decision. If you are an ineffective teacher, if you are deemed an ineffective teacher, you only have one year to recall your job. You've set your budgets for bienniums, and you know that in 3 years it might be different than it is next year. But this ineffective teacher wouldn't be able to recall her job for 5 years, only 1 year. And can we really say that if a teacher is deemed to be ineffective, that if Principal A and B were doing the same evaluation, that their criteria is going to be the same? I know Madam Chair is interested in closing up the hearing.
Well,
and I have
one. I'm just going to take one committee response or interaction here, and then we are going to lay it on the table because we will be voting on Wednesday. Our next, we are having school trust fund lands tomorrow. We will be voting on Wednesday, so it gives a chance for some more interaction before and taking some of our committee discussion at that time. So if you don't mind, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Ms. Allswagger. First off, it's been made out to sound as though it's unusual for a supervisor of an employee to decide on their performance. That in most areas of life is normal, but I got a question, and I generally keep my comments pretty policy and principle-driven, but as a father, you're going to have to indulge me. Mr. Strange was a teacher at Lakeville South, where my son is currently a sophomore. And in full disclosure, his wife is my legislative assistant. However, I did not know Mr. Strange at the time she was hired. And because he is gone, you heard the credentials that he has. There actually may not be a teacher at the school to teach the classes that perhaps my son, who's a good math student, would have the opportunity to take. So setting aside whether there may be some unfairness in evaluation systems and the like, if we start with the premise that schools are about the students, in your mind, is that a good outcome?
Madam Chair, Senator Thompson, I think that probably the main reason that that talented teacher is not there is because of a lack of funding or changes in enrollment. And we want these great teachers to be here.
Ms. Altweiger, that opens a whole other discussion, and we're not going to go there. And I've heard that enough. There's some other drivers in this whole business. So wrap up, because I'm going to lay this on the table.
I understand. If I may respond to that, let's assume for purposes of argument that you're correct. Still, decisions have to be made as to who ends up leaving their position because of budget constraints. And so you may choose to blame it on budget constraints, but the fact of the matter is there's a system in place to let teachers go that is not based upon their ability to teach a specific class or necessarily their ability in general, that is dictated by a system of seniority that results in that kind of injustice.
Madam Chair and Senator Thompson, I appreciate your comments. However, if we can get the evaluation system to work, as all of the union advocates have stated, because we want quality teachers, if the evaluation system is working, we will not have to do that, because the evaluation should not take place at the time of seniority. We should have quality teachers in every single one of our positions, and then seniority is not a problem. Funding becomes the problem.
Madam Chair.
I'm laying Senate File 1690 on the table, and we will adjourn for today, and we will be back on Wednesday, and we'll take the more of our committee discussion as well as having a vote.
Okay. If you guys have not paid,
meeting is adjourned.